And I'm thankful for our missionaries who are willing to go to the parts of the world where there are people who will die without the gospel if somebody doesn't go. And I rejoice about that, and we should all rejoice about that. Remember the Barretts who came through on their way to England, and we support them. I don't know those of you who were perhaps here and heard Brother Barrett preach on that day, Brother Riley. He did a sermon out of Isaiah that has stuck with me, and it had a profound, there were some things that he said in that sermon that changed my view on ministry in a significant way. It was a subtle way, but it was a significant way in the way I view how missions works. I always thought of missions, if missions is, or being a pastor, or being a missionary, or being in the ministry, if you're going to be successful, I always sort of thought of it as it's how many people you reach. You feel like it's your role or your responsibility to reach people. And I remembered Brother Riley saying in his sermon, you know that God never called Isaiah to reach people? It's sort of a staggering thought when you consider it, but do you know what God told Isaiah to do? To give them a chance. You know, we're going to preach the gospel. Valley Avenue Baptist Church is going to be a lighthouse for the gospel. But did you know that never guarantees that people will get saved? Why? Because everybody has a choice, don't they? And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the choices that God gives us. Look at Deuteronomy 29 and stand when you find that. Deuteronomy 29. We'll read a few verses. And we'll get into this. Brother Tim told me that if he smiles real big in the midst of the sermon, it means that the Chiefs are losing. He said he was going to look at it on his phone. It's good to know he cares. Deuteronomy 29. Now everybody's going to be watching Brother Tim. Brother Josh is going to shout amen at the most awkward time. Amen! And we know why. The Chiefs are winning. Okay, Deuteronomy 29. Let's begin in verse 1. And we'll just read through verse 4. And this will be a launching pad for us. We're going to be dealing with chapter 29 and 30 tonight. Verse 1 of chapter 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moses, Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen and signs, and those great miracles. Verse 4, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Father, I pray your blessings on the message because it's your word, and we confess that tonight we need to hear from you. We need our heart to be convicted and touched. That starts with me. It's for all of us. I don't know that there would be anyone in our presence tonight that would truly not need a special touch from you. We all need to hear from you. And so we pray for your grace. I pray that you would help our blind eyes to see. It's just what we need. Guide us in your path, please, and then give us wisdom, to choose to obey, that is. And we'll give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I was mentioning about being a missionary and preaching the gospel. You can imagine that being a missionary in a foreign field, there would be a challenge to that in a special way, especially if there are cultural barriers or linguistic barriers, language barriers. And all of these things factor into challenges with reaching people. And so with that doesn't even count the spiritual challenges that go along with just being where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, saying what He wants you to say in an effort to try to reach people. People can be fickle. People can be obstinate. People can be stubborn. People can be challenging that way. And although God has perhaps worked in your heart And he's softened you and he's given you a burden for souls. So that you would, at a gas station, look across the pump at a guy there who's pumping his fuel, and something in you says you need to give an invitation or a tract to this individual. Somebody you don't know, and you don't know if they're going to throw it on the ground or say something awful to you. A burden that God gives us. Those kinds of actions are things that God stirs within us. It's a desire to win people to Christ. The challenge that's connected to it isn't just the barriers that are there, culturally speaking, or even the barriers that are there between us and them, in the sense of our fears and being afraid to reach out and to go to that extent, but the spiritual barriers, that we would have the courage to go, that we would have the courage to have a Bible study with somebody in a one-on-one setting when we've not done it very much and we're a little bit afraid about it. Or to have a conversation, a spiritual conversation. Listen, we can talk about cars and football and the weather and you name it. Ladies, you know how it can be sometimes. I'm amazed how long my wife can talk on the phone to people. I mean, you know, I don't mean that in a bad way. That sounded bad, but I don't mean it in a bad way. Because I can love you like deeply. But once about 10 minutes has passed, I feel like we've talked a long time. I mean, there is literally nothing else to talk about. I mean, we start talking about, you know. So those kind of conversations might come easy to you. But talking to people about Christ, there's challenges there. And when you finally get past that, and you talk to people, there's new challenges that are associated to this. That is on the side of the work of God in them. That they would be willing to have a heart that's open, that they would have a willing or a heart or ears to hear, that they would receive the message. And by the way, it's not intellectual all the way. There is an intellectual aspect to the gospel. Let's not think that we can just have a, you know, just any kind of a message and fumble our way through something and people are going to, and by the way, Brother Tim, you got to do a sermon, Brother Josh, next Sunday. Let's just not put any studies into it, put no effort into it and think that it'll have a greater effect than if we worked hard. No, there's an intellectual aspect to giving the gospel to the people. You need to know what you're talking about. It needs to make sense. But then that those who are hearing it would have a heart that's open. That those that are hearing it, as we have said in our verses tonight, that they would have eyes to see. That's what Israel didn't have. It's amazing to me that you can see something but not see it. How many of you have teenage boys? Or you have been around... Okay, there's two hands. Three hands. Okay, you had teenage boys. You understand that. How could you not see it? How many times have you said that? How could you not see this? Especially moms. Dads, we didn't see it either. So, you know, but our wives, they don't get it. They wonder, how can you not see this? But that's like Israel. They watched God do so many miracles. You and I are, when we study it, we try to imagine it, don't we? It's so miraculous and incredible. There's movies made just to try to depict the amazement of God's wonders when he delivered them out of Israel. Okay? Yet, as they watched God do these miracles, do you know what Moses reflected and said about them? He said, you saw it, but you didn't see it. I don't know if you missed it, but let's look at it again. Look at verse 2. Moses called unto Israel and said unto them, ye have seen. There it is. What did they see? That all that the Lord had did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, the Pharaoh and his servants and all the land. Verse 3, great temptations which thine eyes have seen. He's being redundant here. He's wanting them to understand they saw these things, the signs and the miracles. Now verse 4, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this day. They saw the gracious works. They saw what God did but with their eyes, but they didn't understand. They didn't truly see the work of God. What they didn't understand the extent of what God was doing. It's It's sort of like when my wife says these scary words to me. She says, did you notice something different about me? Absolutely. But if you don't figure it out, she knows you didn't figure it out or notice. I usually get in trouble with that one. Or how about this, gentleman? I knew she was going to go get her hair done. She told me, I'm getting my hair done. And then she comes back and she's just waiting for me to notice, you know. She doesn't want to tell me because she wants me to see it. And finally she just has to say it. So what do you think of my hair? Oh, it's amazing, but it's too late, right? I needed to notice it. I knew that she was getting her hair done. How about this? I even saw her hair, but I didn't see it. Israel saw God's wonders, the miracles, the miraculous wonders of God, but they didn't understand the implications of what God was doing. And it's still that way sometimes in our lives today. Although we watch God do it, watch this, we watch God do amazing things in our life, we don't see with the eyes that we should see with. We don't understand the extent of the nature, the miraculous nature of what we just witnessed. Let's just talk about this for a second because I think it's a great illustration. How about this, that you have a pastor. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Pastor Chad Berry, who's an incredible, he's going to be, is, and will be an incredible pastor. I've talked to so many pastors through the years who have traveled around the nation after having retired. And you know what they have found? As they traveled around the nation, visiting small church after small church, especially in the Midwest, but really all over, is that there are more churches than you and I can comprehend that don't even have a pastor. They're just trying to find one. How many pastors have I learned of even most recently, now that we've gone through this process, that they're at the age. They have to retire because they cannot physically do it. It's an emotional toll on your body. It's a physical toll, and there's an emotional toll. There's a kind of energy and strength that you need to have to be a pastor, to do an adequate job. And when you know it's time to step down, you know it's time to step down. But here's what pastors are finding today, that they need to step down, but they don't have anyone to step in. So we would remember in the years past, we would have all of these so great, haven't we had great revivals in years past? Like I've never seen before. Many of you are a result of the revivals we've had here. And pastors would come and they would stand before our church and they would say these words that really I haven't understood. You don't realize how blessed you are to not only have pastor, but to have Brother Chad Berry here. Two men who can bring the message of God's word to when there's so many who have none. And so I think like Israel, if we're not careful, what can happen is that we would have God's blessings and we could see it unfold before our eyes, but at the same time we're seeing the miraculous work of God right in front of us. We're not really seeing it. We're missing it. It begins to manifest itself when we complain about things. Israel had seen God do such great things, but they didn't see the nature of or the implications of God's blessings delivering them. And the way it manifested itself in them is with complaining. We can be that way too. I remember there have been so many times that God has provided a need before we had the need. Have you ever had that happen? For example, you get some money, you're blessed with some extra money, and then something broke. You're like, wow, look what God did. You know, usually our attitude isn't like that, though, is it? I remember those years ago, Melissa, when we had went to a retreat. This was BC, before Chad days, okay? So we had nobody to watch the building, and we were gone for a whole week. And like on Monday, it was right in the middle. It would have been in January, the home missions conference. And we got back, and one of the water lines in the basement had busted wide open. And it was Niagara Falls in the basement for 6 days or 5 days. Remember that? It was such a miracle. It was miraculous that the whole basement didn't just cave in. But the way that the water line broke, it just dumped right into the basement and down the drain. So for 5 days, though, the water just flowed. We had repairs that needed to be, thousands of dollars of repairs, and that was before we even knew what the water bill was going to be. And you know what happened the same day we got back? Just as we were learning, somebody walked into the church building and said there was a member of First Baptist Church, which is what our church name was before Valley Avenue Baptist Church, who had passed away, and in her will she had designated a certain percentage of her estate to the church. And this was a relative of this sweet lady, and he had handed a check of $14,000 to the church. You know, God provided before that provision was made, way before the problem even came. You know, that happens sometimes in our life. We have these blessings come, and we get this extra money, and then something breaks, and we can't see the blessing because we're too upset. We don't get to spend that money on what we wanted to spend it on. We're too busy complaining about the fact that we didn't get to do with that money that we can't watch. We can't rejoice with God about His provisions and taking care of our need in a miraculous way. That was Israel. That's what we can be sometimes. We need to identify those times in our life. And the way we can do that is by understanding why it happens. Why are we not thankful, boys, sometimes? You say, well, I just don't like my situation. You know, one way you can discern if you're not as thankful as you should be is how much you complain about things. Well, if it was just this way, or if our situation was different, or if Pastor just did it this way, or if this situation, just was shifted this way, and our complaining begins to reveal that our thankfulness for God's grace in our life isn't like it should be. What does that mean about our heart? What does it mean our problem is? Look at chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God shall circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. So God here is talking to Israel about their their attitude about God's blessings and them not seeing God's blessings. And Moses, in our verse here, is showing Israel that their problem is a heart problem. They needed the Lord, as we saw in our verse, to circumcise their heart. That means to give them a new heart. He promised to replace their stubbornness. He promised to replace their pride with a broken and a contrite heart. But how would He do that? How would He do that in our life? Well, for Israel, it would begin with the Word of God. And by the way, it's the same for us. Our heart needs to change, but where does it begin? It begins with the Word of God in our life. Look at verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. I think sometimes we get stuck in this rut of complaining and having a wrong kind of an attitude. And what that is doing is revealing that we have a heart problem. And our heart problem is coming from a neglect of the Word of God. And sometimes our excuse about neglecting the Word of God is that we're not understanding it. But God reveals here in verse number 11 that it is not hidden from thee. It's not far off. So the problem that we're having in understanding the Word of God is not a problem that God, or stumbling blocks that God has put in our way. He wants us to understand it. We'll talk more about that in a second. Look at verse 12. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down to us that we may hear it and do it? So this is somebody who says, I don't have access to it. Somebody needs to go to heaven and bring the Word of God to us. No, no, no. The Word of God has already been delivered to you. That's not the issue. He goes on, verse 13, neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over to see the sea for us to bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? We talked about our missionaries just earlier, and we should consider the millions and billions of people who have no access to the Word of God. I'll never forget the day there was a missionary who was on his way hiking and walking to a village and came up on a person of the nation in the field who was doing some work in the field, and came up to this person and asked them if they had ever met Jesus. And in the conversation, the national said, no, I've never met him. I think he might be in the village over next to us. So not only has he never met Jesus, he doesn't even know who Christ is. He's never even heard of him. But we can't say that. You and I, tonight, we have the Word of God, and we have the Word of God delivered to us routinely, regularly. Verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So God's revealed himself, and he said that it's near you, it's nigh you, it's been given to you, it's been delivered to you, so that you might do it. Let's go on. I'm trying to not get ahead of myself. So now that they have the Word of God, do you know what they now have, like we heard Brother Barrett preach about? They have a chance. And you know why they have a chance? Because they have a choice. They have heard the truth, and now they can choose to turn to God, or they can choose to keep doing what they're doing. Yeah. Look at verse 19, chapter 30. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what's that next word? Choose life, that both you and thy seed may live. So their full enjoyment of God's blessings in their life wasn't dependent on some exterior force or the hand of God moving them like a pawn in this life. It's not some kind of an intellectual level that they would get to, or some kind of a feeling that would build up inside of them. No, it's that they would choose to obey based on what they have been taught from God's Word. God would replace their stubborn pride with His Word when they chose to obey it. God will replace our stubborn pride and spiritual hard heart when we choose to obey Him. We need to hear from Him, don't we? That's why you need to be at church. Say, well, I'm busy, or I'm this or that. I mean, so many things, you know. And sometimes there are things that, you know, we cannot avoid it. And that's, you know, that happens sometimes. But generally speaking, there's not very many times, or at least there shouldn't be, very many times that we're pulled away from hearing the Word of God when we could have chosen to be here. And we need to be here. Why? Because we need to hear the Word. You need to hear the message. You need to hear that God, you know, that God in His Word reveals truth about Himself. And with the messages, there's something amazing that there's two things that happens in every message. And that is God reveals a nature of a man. Why did God give us a book? Because He's telling us about Himself, but He's also telling us about us and how we relate to Him. So in every message, there are things that we need to hear. And God reveals things about us. And that's the reprove, the rebuke, the instruction in righteousness. These are the things that we need to hear about ourselves. But then on the other side of every message that we hear is the grace of God. That we have these issues in our life, but then we have God's grace to help us through those issues that we have in life. So we hear the message, and what happens in those times is in an intellectual way, we learn things about ourselves and we learn things about the grace of God. And with the knowledge that we've gained, because we just because we showed up and we listened, we tried, we were paying attention, that we started to learn things, God, the Holy Spirit, used those to stir and to work in us. And that's when He speaks to you. It's not theory anymore. It's not, hey, the world needs this. Or, yeah, Aunt Sue or Uncle Tom or whoever. Yeah, I know a whole bunch. Yeah, so-and-so on the other side of the auditorium. I know a bunch of people who needed to hear this message. It's not theory anymore. It's not just generally speaking or to the planet Earth or somebody on the other side of the, you know, country. No, the Holy Spirit stirs within you and He says, you needed this. You needed to change. You needed to be touched. And that happened. It started to happen because you came and you heard and you listened and you understood it. And through a process of time, God calls it like a hammer striking the rock. The Word of God is the hammer. Our heart is the rock, and the hammer strikes the rock. It's God trying to get through to us. He's saying, this is for you, and you need this. And as He's working in us, seeking to break our hearts and to change us and to mold us to be like Him, we need to be in a position so that we can hear the truth. Now, when God is working in you and He's speaking to you and it's revealed to you, now I think sometimes we face this challenge. If you've been in church a lot and God's touched you and He's worked in you, sometimes we say stuff like this. Well, I know what God wants me to do. It's just too hard to do it. Right? We say that. We feel that sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that we always are not even trying. Sometimes we try. Sometimes we have good days and we have bad days. That, I guess, means we're human, right? But there are times when we know what God wants us to do and we throw the proverbial towel in. You ever done that? You ever heard from God and then you just decided you can't do it? This is too hard for me. You know, I'll do this. I remember Brother Marshall doing a message. This was a long time ago. I was a kid. I still remember this. He was shooting up with his drugs. And he used to talk to the Lord while he was shooting up. And he used to tell the Lord, Lord, if you would just send me somebody right now, then I'll stop. Or he's on his way to his dealer. He's on the highway, on the way to the dealer. God, if you just blow this tire out, I won't go to the dealer. And I think sometimes we're like that. We want to change. We know what God wants us to do. We even want to do it. But we feel like we cannot. We feel like we're trapped. We're like the person who goes to prison and he gets clean. And then when he gets out, he's right back to it, isn't he? And then he decides, you know what? I'm better off in prison, aren't I? Because I can stay clean. Did you know
that you and I, although you might feel that way spiritually, that there are some things that you cannot control and you can't quit and you can't stop? If God's telling you and he's speaking to you and you know what he wants you to do and you feel like you can't, that what we're learning tonight, what we see in this message, is exactly what God is saying to us, to say you've been given all the power that you need to be everything that God wants you to be. And that literally when God is leading you into an action, that you have personally been given all the power that you need to accomplish the task that he's calling you to do. What is it? You have been called by God to an action. Intellectually, you know what he wants you to do. He has spoken to your heart and he's leading you in the area in your heart through the message. Intellectually, he's speaking to your heart, guiding you in the change he wants you to make. And with that, now he's given you a chance to serve him and to obey him. And it all hinges on one thing. And you know what it is? It's a choice. You have a choice. The guy who gets out of prison and goes back to his drugs, he can blame his circumstances, he can blame his environment, he can blame his family, he can blame his history, he can blame his psychology, he can blame the medications, the physiology. All of these things can be blamed. But ultimately, here's what God says he has as well of all of us. You can choose. As a matter of fact, if you're going to do it, you have to choose. Because God's not going to make you. Well, wouldn't it be easier? I think sometimes we think that, don't we? Oh man, this would be so much easier if you just make me do this all the time, God. But he won't do that. His grace is sufficient. He's given you everything that you need in the Spirit who is in you, talking to you. And it's as though God is saying, if you'll just follow me with this and choose to obey me, I've got the windows. They're cracked open. What happens when God opens the windows of heaven? And blessings come out, don't they? And his mercy and grace begin to work in us and through us. But we have to choose. Didn't Joshua say that? Choose you this day whom you will serve. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have to choose. You want to stop? You want to change? You have to make a decision. Well, if my dad would just, or if my mom would just, or if the pastor this, and all of the things. And we can complain, but here's what needs to happen. We need to choose. That's the bottom line. You can blame till you're blue in the face the rest of your life. But in the end, here's what God's going to... This is why you're going to pay the consequences for your choices. Because you chose. We can't choose our circumstances, but we can choose how we respond to them. And that's what we need to do tonight. God sent a whale to what's his name? Jonah. Thank you. It's like Noah. That's not right. God sent a whale. But you know what God didn't do to Jonah? He didn't make him get right. God can send you a whale, but you have to choose. Let me say a few things. Brother Chad's Sunday School series is so good. I'm going to quote to you a few things he said this morning because he didn't know, but I wish he was in here tonight. He didn't know this, but I was asking him questions because he was talking about my sermon this morning. I'm like, what about this? Oh, okay, I'm going to say that tonight. Here we go. Change into his image. The lesson was getting into your place. It requires, does anybody remember? Humility. It requires humility. Here, Brother Chad said this. Humility is the frame of mind a man possesses who is fully aware of his nothingness apart from God. That's humility. Who are we without God? Nothing. No man who, he said this next, no man who has been humbled before God is self-justifying, self-protective, and self-confident. Now get this. You can be brought low, but ultimately, humility is a choice. Isn't that good? Humility is a choice. You have to choose. So it's time to choose. Father, I pray your blessing tonight and invitation. Help us to choose to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, that we might, not just because we desire to be blessed, but in our heart, Lord, we want to love you like you, like it says in your word tonight, love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, Lord. With you in us, salvation, our gratitude, our thankfulness, it's just in us to worship you. It's in us to love you, and we want to do that. And yet we feel like Paul, the things I would do, I do not. The things I do not are the things that I do. And that's how we feel sometimes. We feel it's impossible, honestly. But with you, nothing is impossible. You have given us a chance because we have your word. Your spirit works in us, convicting us and guiding us. And now tonight, we learn. We just need to choose to obey. Would you help us to have strength, clarity in our decision to surrender to you tonight? It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.